Expressions from St. Paul is made possible by your faithful prayers and contributions. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 46 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. Our guest speaker hails from Fort Worth, Texas, where he pastors the Pilgrim Valley Missionary Baptist Church, Reverend Maverick Gaydon.
Life will put you in a holding pattern sometimes. Life will make you wait sometimes by no fault of your own. And I thank God sometimes for some prayers that were delayed. I thank God for some blessings that did not come when I wanted them to come. Because the truth of the matter is, had they came when I wanted them, I wasn't even ready to receive them. But sometimes life will put you in a holding pattern.
He titles his message, Call Waiting. If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 41 down through 50. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
We are expressly thankful and honored and humbled to be here on this great day. What a marvelous God we serve. I'm already excited about everything that's already happened. I'm excited to be here today for the debut of these young adults. I'm excited to be here to worship with the veterans today. I'm excited to be here for the announcement of the gospel twins that are getting ready to start preaching. I'm peacock proud and hyena happy to be here today. In the midst of this great congregation, I just want to tell you, this day has been in the makings for a long time, longer than we ever even knew. It was many years ago, one of your former members, Brother Charles Newsom, used to serve on a deacon's board with myself. We taught Sunday school together, and every time he would fly back to Sacramento, he would always bring me tapes of Pastor Ephraim Williams. And then it got to the point where every time he would go, I was asking, did you get my tapes, Brother Newsom? Did you get my tapes? So I was listening to this brother and didn't even know anything about him. Then some years later, we had a service at the church, and Brother Cage's wife came down, and she was telling me about her church in Sacramento. I said, have you ever heard of Ephraim Williams? She says, that's my pastor. I said, oh. So here we are again with her family at our church, and I'm saying this is happening. Then he had an anniversary, and the Williams brothers were invited to be a part of the anniversary. Then one of my aunts from Chicago, from Los Angeles, came up and she sent a program down. I said, that's the same guy, that name again, Ephraim Williams, the same man. But wait, now Williams brothers and Williams, I said, now something is clicking here. So we started talking. Then we started connecting all the dots and crossing all the T's and found out that we are family. And I'm so proud to be, and I left off one of the steps. One of your former musicians was married to one of my cousins. I don't know if I heard Lisa may be here today. I don't know. All right. But anyway, we're here. Pastor, and some of these brothers have been trying to urge me to sing, but I've heard singing today. Y'all give it up. I have heard some singing today. Amen. Amen. And I know, I'm trying hard to turn this off. I know that you all are far spent in time, and I respect that and I understand that, because you have an afternoon service that all of you are going to be going to support the pastor. I understand that. So I'm the substitute teacher today, and my job is to come just bring a word to warm you up. I'm the opening act today, and I gladly accept it. But I thank God for this invitation. Now, I thank God for the spirit of your pastor. I thank God for the protection that he has placed upon this and the vision upon this visionary. I couldn't wait to get here. And now that I'm here, I am so thankful that I've come. With all of that being said, I think it's time now for a word from the Lord. And I'm glad that Pastor's already pumped you up and already announced to you that I'm one of those preachers. I need some amens. And it's not for me, but it's for the Lord, because there's only one difference between a cemetery and a sanctuary, and that's breath. And the Bible says that everything that has breath ought to be praising the Lord. And I'm glad he didn't say that everything that praised the Lord will have breath, because some of us would be in trouble today. But we are here today to just bring a message from a word from on high. If you would, Father God, again, we thank you for the privilege that you have granted.
Yes,
we thank you for the blessing that you have given. Now, Father God, we ask and summons your power upon this preacher this day. Father God, use the preacher in a mighty way.
Yes, sir.
Break down the vessel that stands before your people, Father God, so that others may see and hear you speaking even on this day. Lord, remove me of myself so that they may see and hear more of you. Our prayer is, Father God, through the power of preaching, that the non-believer will begin to believe, that the backslider will return, that the lost will become saved, and the saved shall be blessed. When you have your way in this place, Father God, allow us to be so mindful to give you the glory. This we ask, O Lord, in the precious and mighty name of Jesus, and his people again shouted amen.
Amen.
There's a word from the Lord that we want to present today from the Gospel of Luke. Luke, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 41, a very familiar passage of scripture. And I thank God for those of you that have your word with you, because I have a saying at Pilgrim Valley that it sounds so much better to hear you say, "I read," because "I read" sounds better than Pastor said. Don't take my word for any of it. Just read what's in the word. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 41. Amen. And when you're there, just announce so by saying amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 8, verse 41 begins by reading, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.' While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying unto him, 'Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master.'" Verse 50. "But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, 'Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole.'" For our subject this morning, we want to use call waiting. Call waiting. Call waiting. See, I like to hear some noise in the audience. Just say it out loud. Call waiting.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, in the early 1970s, Bell Communications introduced a new format to all of its subscribers, where if you paid a little bit extra, you were able to receive a premium service called call waiting. They described the method of how it worked by saying, when a caller, say, let's say caller A was on the phone with caller B, and while A and B were communicating with one another, caller C could call caller A. Caller A would then have to cease the call with caller B. Tell caller B to hold on just a little while he sees what C wanted to talk about. While A and C were talking, B would still be on hold. Then while A and C finally communicated, and after they had endured and after they had gone through and terminated their conversation, then he could end that conversation with C and go back to B. Some of you sitting here looking at me strange saying, but that's not fair to B. B was there first. B called first. Why should B have to hold on? But B, on the other hand, would give the testimony that at least I'm still connected. B would tell you, at least I did not get hung up on, and at least I'm still on the line. I want somebody to know that's a good thing when you're still on the line. That's a good thing when you're still connected. But that's the way that life is sometimes. Life will put you in a holding pattern sometimes. Life will make you wait sometimes by no fault of your own. And I thank God sometimes for some prayers that were delayed. I thank God for some blessings that did not come when I wanted them to come. Because the truth of the matter is, had they came when I wanted them, I wasn't even ready to receive them. But sometimes life will put you in a holding pattern. You've done everything you were supposed to do. You've gone to school, but you still haven't gotten the job. You've studied, you worked hard, but you still haven't gotten a promotion. You have worked out, you've lost weight, you've toned up, but you still haven't found that mate that you've been looking for. Life will put you in a holding pattern. You've shown up at the airport, you bought the right ticket, you went through customs, you went through security, you're at the right gate, you boarded the right plane, you're sitting in the right place, you taxi out onto the runway, but suddenly the plane stops and sits right where it is. You don't know, you're aggravated, you're agitated, you're a little bit frustrated because you've done everything you were supposed to do, but the plane hadn't taken off. But what you don't know is up above there's somebody that's called an air traffic controller, and they have a hold on your release, because what you don't know, there's some things going on over your head. There's some traffic over your head that if you took off, there would be trouble in the air. Sometimes the things we're waiting on just don't have to happen when we say, because there's somebody up above our heads that know when it's time for us to get blessed. Somebody ought to already say amen. See, what I stopped by to let you know today, there is no greater example of call waiting that I could find than in this Gospel of Luke, in this particular passage of Scripture. Many times when we read it, we focus on the woman with the issue. Many times when we read it, we focus on the miracles that Jesus performed. But there's another brother that's involved in here that we want to talk about today. We want to talk about Brother Jairus, the man. Look what the Bible says, and I like saying that the Bible said it. The Bible says that he was a ruler of the synagogue. That means that he was respected there. That means he was remembered there. That means he kept showing up there, and he became a ruler in the synagogue. That also tells me that he knew something about the Lord. That tells me that, because I want to tell you, church, you can't just hang around the Word and the Word not do something to you. You just can't hang around Jesus and something don't change in you. See, I don't understand folks that's been in church all their life and still acting the same. There's something wrong with that. But the Bible says that Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. And then it tells me he had something good going on with him, because in his life, the Bible says that he had trouble in his house. Oh, yeah, if there's anybody here that's ever had problems in their own house. See, troubles look different in your house
house than they do in your neighbor's house. Troubles look different when they're in the windshield as opposed to the rearview mirror. But the Bible said Jairus had a problem in his house. Not just any kind of problem, but it said his daughter. And y'all know how we brothers are about our little girls. These daddy's little girls, but he had a daughter, one daughter. He only had one daughter, and this daughter was sick, but not just sick. She was sick unto death. She was dying. And the Bible says that she was laying at home dying. But Jairus knew what to do. He didn't go call Oprah. Oprah may have tried to say, there's another way. He didn't try to talk to Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil may have been at the local pub having a few, knocking a few down. He didn't try to call Ayana to fix his life. He didn't talk to Chief Executive Officer number 45. He might have been under investigation himself. He knew where to go. He knew where to go. When trouble, because see, that's what we got to get better at. See, it's too many of us are going to the wrong places when we get in trouble. Too many of us turn to Facebook when we get in trouble. You got to leave Facebook alone and put your face in the book sometime and find out, Lord, what do I need to do? Because the answer to your problem, if you haven't heard, it's all in the Word. He turned to the Lord. He said, I know where I need to go. Because he heard that Jesus was somewhere around. And the Bible says he went and found Jesus. Not only did he find him, he worshiped. Look what the Bible said. He worshiped the Lord. Ooh, if we would just learn. If we would just learn in the time of trouble. Why don't you start worshiping the Lord? Why don't you quit crying? Why don't you quit complaining? Why don't you quit murmuring and grumbling all that? If we would just learn to worship the Lord. Oh, Procter and Campbell got it right a long time ago. Because see, sin will leave a crimson stain on you. But Procter and Campbell told me a long time ago, when you got a tough stain, you got to shout it out. So he learned. Yeah, he learned how to shout it out. He had to come and worship at the Lord's feet. But watch what happened now. Oh, see, I'm getting messed up already because he fell down at Jesus' feet to worship him, told Jesus about his problem, told Jesus about the trouble that he was in. Then watch what happened. While Jesus was proceeding to go to Jairus' house to see about the little girl, now he was there first, but then a woman, but watch what the Bible said, but, ooh, don't miss that. But whenever you see but in the Bible, it changes whatever just happened before that. But I want y'all to know what but is. But is a conjunction. And for those of you that didn't grow up in my era, I used to not know what a conjunction was either till I started watching TV. And they start teaching me about it's a conjunction junction. What's your function? Hooking up words and clauses and phrases. That's what it, and what this conjunction, it hooks up my past. Brings my past into my present and prepares my past in the present to get ready for what's happening in the future. So I said, but, oh, I love what this, he said, but a woman with an issue of blood come running along. A woman with an issue of blood. See that, and it said, but, oh, don't miss that. Whenever God is getting ready to bless you, you better expect some obstacles to show up. Matter of fact, many times obstacles show up in the form of people and folks. Sometimes that's the folks that show. And have y'all ever had it? Whenever you got blessed from the Lord, folks start putting conjunctions on your blessings, start telling you, that's a nice car, but I wouldn't have bought it. He's a nice man, but I wouldn't have married him. She looks nice, but boy, you better not trust her. But. I got a word for all of you but folks. Get your butt off my blessing. The woman with the issue of blood, come along. Remember, there's a crowd there. Jairus couldn't get to him because the people kept thronging him. The people kept bumping into him, bumping into Jesus, bumping into the woman with the issue of blood. But watch, but this woman came along She saw the crowd. She saw what was going on. And the Bible says she fell down to her knees. She got down in the dirt. She got down in the dirt and she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Jesus cried out, "Who touched me?" Peter, the man with the peppermint socks, because he always put his foot in his mouth, cried out, "Lord, how can you say somebody touched you? Everybody's touching you. Everybody's, how can you say?" No, Jesus did not say, "Who touched me," as in who put their hands on me, because everybody was doing that. He wasn't talking about who put their hands on him, because the Bible says she touched the garment. The garment didn't have power. That's not it. The hand on the garment didn't have power. What Jesus was saying, her actions touched me on the inside. He said that moved and motivated me, because I felt virtue come out of me. And it was because of her faith that touched. He said, "I'm impressed with her faith." Oh, but this is what's happening. But all this is going on. And Jairus was there first. Jairus brought his condition first. And me, just me. This is me, y'all. Don't put this on the Bible of God. This is me. This is me, the one that self-appointed myself as God's chief executive officer and his administrative assistant sometimes. That's the word I do sometimes. I just tell the Lord, "Lord, if it was me." I start talking like that. Seemed like to me, "Lord, you should have hung out with Jairus. Seemed like to me that was more important." Have y'all ever been to, "Lord, seemed like to me, Lord, we talking about a child dying. Lord, seemed like to me you would have addressed that first." But there's a reason. There's a reason that he put Jairus on hold. There's a reason that he had to make Jairus wait a little while. There's a reason that he didn't bless him when he wanted him to bless him. The old folks used to say, "He may not come when you want him, but oh, won't he be on time?" Oh, but watch what happened. So then now the woman got healed immediately, but Jairus still on hold. His daughter is still dying. He's still on hold. He was there first, but he's still on hold. But watch what Jesus was doing. That's what messed me up. Now, I'm about to take off now, because this is messing me up. What happened? I looked at what the Bible said. The Bible said his daughter was 12 years old. His daughter was 12 years old. And the woman with the issue of blood had the issue of blood for 12 years. So that tells me, the same year that the little girl was born, the woman started getting sick. That tells me as the child grew stronger, the woman grew weaker. As the child grew up, the woman was breaking down. 12 years, they were heading in different and opposite directions, but yet they were getting ready to meet in the same place. Heading in opposite direction, but they were getting ready to be blessed at the same. That's why you got to be careful who you mess with on the way up, because you're just liable to have to see them again on the way down. 12, y'all still don't get it. I got to work a little bit harder. 12, that's God's power number. That's the number of power and completion. 12, y'all still don't want to get with me. Look at weren't there 12 tribes of Israel? Weren't there 12 spies that went out to see the promised land? Weren't there 12 apostles that Jesus had? Weren't there 12 disciples that he called? Weren't there 12 gates to the city? 3 in the north, 3 in the south, 3 in the east, and 3 in the west. There's something about 12 stones in the Jordan River. There's something about that number 12. The Lord was working, making a power move with this number 12. Oh, yes, sir. So I see what's happening. So he said, if I make him wait, he'll get a little bit stronger. If I make him wait, he'll understand just a little bit better, because something big was getting ready to happen, and he had to get him ready for what was about to happen. So what the Lord did, I'm going to drop these three on you, because I know you got to go out this evening. Somebody want three pieces before they go out this hour. I understand. So just let me give you why Jesus made him wait, because I see you wondering. I see you want to know. First thing he did, he made him wait because he had to give him some power of faith. Power of faith. See, he had to learn that the woman was healed because of her faith. She heard about Jesus, but she left with stronger faith. And because Jairus witnessed, his faith became stronger too. Ooh, I'm liking this. So he had to teach him about the power of faith. But he also had to teach him about the power of favor. See, everybody was bumping into him, but everybody wasn't being blessed. See, you got to understand, I want to be anywhere around some folks that have favor on them. See, because y'all hang out with the wrong kind of folks. I want to hang out with folks that have favor on them, because I'm not a jealous kind of person. Because I realize if God is in the blessing business and God is blessing in my neighborhood, I don't have to get upset when my neighbor gets blessed. All I need to do is open the door and wait on the Lord to come on down my way. That's the way favor, and the Lord never gives you just enough, but he always gives you enough to let it overflow. And if I'm standing in Pastor Williams' overflow, that's all right with me, because I'm still being blessed by the Lord. That's something somebody ought to get excited about. He had to teach him about the power of favor, but finally he had to teach him the power formula. Ooh, don't miss this. He had to teach Jairus the power formula. There was a formula that was working there, a formula that he said, Jairus, you need to understand this. See, the woman, she had an issue of blood. She was bleeding. The Bible says she had spent all of her money on doctors. And then it described the fact that she got down in the dirt to touch Jesus. She was broken. She was bleeding. She was broken. She was bleeding. And she was dirty. Oh, y'all didn't get it over there. Let me get the mirror. She was broken. She was bleeding. And she was dirty. Didn't click that. Broken, bleeding, and dirty. That's the fault. Y'all didn't get it. See, all of us. All of us, when the Lord decided to make man, he took silicone and oxygen and put it together and made dirt. And all of us were born from dirt. Quit looking at yourselves like you all that. Quit believing that that suit makes you. The truth of the matter is, all of us came from dirt. Matter of fact, that's all of us are. We just some dressed up dirt. With your red bottom shoes on, your Louis Vuitton purses and your designer suits, alligator shoes, you still dressed up dirt. We were born from the dirt, but we were saved by the blood. But the body that gave the blood was broken. So he had to say, it's the broken body that bleeds in the dirt that saves all of us. He had to let you out. There's a formula that's working there. But watch what happened. Now, Jairus still on hold. He's still on hold. But did you hear him grumble one time? Did you hear him complaining? Lord, seem like by now you should have done something for me. Now, see, he never complained. Oh, there it is. There it is. There it is. He wasn't complaining because of what was already inside of him. Can I just work that a minute? Because of what was. See, my wife back home, she has this propensity to like to shop. She enjoys it. She looks for opportunities to shop. But sisters, let me clue y'all in on what y'all think we don't know. Whenever she goes shopping and bring me something, already know there's something else in that trunk or at the back end of that closet that I've never seen. And then when I finally see it, she just said, oh, I've been having that. But just a little while ago, she went shopping, and she brought back these thermal tumblers. And I'm not impressed. I got a bunch of these. I'm saying, okay, fine, you did something. I know you got something. I know what's going on. Brought the tumbler.
And she was describing it to me, talking about the yet. And then she also bought some for my sons also. I got two sons. They're single too. Just saying. But she bought all of us these yet, and I'm still not impressed. But she kept talking about it. She kept talking about this Yeti tumbler, this Yeti thing. She just kept talking about it. Kept talking. She said, oh, I put ice in it yesterday, and the ice still in it. She just kept bragging on it. And I'm not buying into it. Yeah, I'm saying I've seen these things too many times before. But then finally I had to sneak off and try it. And I put my Pepsi inside the tumbler. And put the ice inside but normally when you do that, the ice starts melting and it waters down your drink on the inside. That's what happened. But Yeti has a different formula. Yeti has a different technology. What they do, they have a stainless steel cup on the inside that holds your beverage. But outside are two layers of insulation. Okay, and they're still not getting it there. Two layers of insulation. And with the two layers of insulation, what they do, it's not just regular insulation. They vacuum all the air out so that no heat can get to the inner cup, because the air works as a conduit to let heat travel from the outside to the inside. And because there is no air in between those layers, no heat can change what's happening on the inside. Y'all missing what? I'm not talking about Yeti no more. Y'all got to understand. If there's something good on the inside, God puts a protective cover on the outside so that no air can. I'm talking about the air of grumbling, the air of complaining, the air of doubt, the air, that air that keeps getting to you to change that faith that's on the inside. He had Yeti kind of faith. Somebody ought to say amen, because watch what's getting ready to happen. But after they got ready to go, the young woman laying at home, a messenger came along. Tell Jairus, don't worry about going home. Don't be in a hurry. Your daughter, she's dead. So no, she's not just she's dead. He said, it's been too long. The master waited too long. You've been on hold too long, Jairus. Y'all know that's some bad news. When somebody tell you your only child is no longer with you. But he got the news and said, don't worry about it. Your daughter is dead. But I never saw Jairus complain. Never saw him get upset. But watch what the Bible says. The worst advice that I've ever heard. The man told Jairus, your daughter's dead, and trouble not the master. Ooh. In the time of trouble, that's the time that I need to trouble the master. See, I'm not talking about one of them little cute prayers of now you lay me down to sleep, but when real trouble comes, you learn how to get ugly for the Lord. You learn how to let tears flow. You learn that you don't care who's looking at you or who hear what you say. When real trouble comes, I've got to trouble the master, because I've learned something about the master that I love about him. Did y'all know if we just search the gospels, we'll learn something about the master that he cares and he understands. Y'all still don't want to believe? Just search the Gospels in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I found out he understood about temptation, because he had to go through it. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 2, he understood hunger. John chapter 4, verse number 7, he understood thirst. In Matthew chapter 8, verse number 20, he understood poverty. In Matthew chapter 11, verse number 18, he understood hatred. That's the kind of God I serve. He understands. And not only does he understand, but yes, he does care. Then I talked about all those things, but Luke said, I've got some things I know he understands too. Mark said, I've got some things I know he understands too. John said, I've got some things I know he understands too. Because John said, I had a friend of mine by the name of Lazarus, and Lazarus died too, and I had to deal with that. I had to deal with grief. But over in John chapter 11, he said, I dealt with grief. But over in another chapter, he said, but then I had to learn how to deal with death, even myself. Now, who but Jesus could I talk to when I've just lost a loved one? He's the only one that can speak of death in the past tense. He's the only
one that ever opened a grave from the inside out. He's the only one that's older and younger than his own mother at the same time. Who else can I tell? Well, let me tell you, if you're going to tell me this, let me tell you where I stand. If you tell me not to trouble the master, I'm going to tell you that's the only one that I can talk to in the time of trouble. Y'all remember those disciples on the ship? When the ship started tossing, when the waves started rocking, when the storm started raging, they had to do what? Trouble the master. Y'all remember when Mary was at the wedding and she ran out of wine? What did she have to do? Trouble the master. You remember the thief that was on the cross when he was in trouble? What did he do? People of God, we need to learn when it's time to trouble the master. Are y'all ready to go now? Are y'all ready to go now? Are y'all ready to go now? Because he's about to go to the house and we're about to get excited. Watch what happened on the way to the house. I understand Jairus been on hold. All this time he's been on hold while he dealt with everything else. But now they're getting ready to go to the house. They're getting ready to go see a lifeless daughter. They're getting ready to see his only child in a dead status. But he had to get Jairus ready for what was about to happen. Ooh. He's letting Jairus know, look, before you thought I could, now you know I can. Pastor, is it all right if I just drop this one on him before we get ready to take off now? Don't let what you see mess up what you saw. That's the message for Jack. He said, you saw me heal the woman. You saw the miracles that I've already done. Now you're getting ready to look at your own daughter, but don't let what you see mess up what you saw. Can I help somebody today? Don't let what you're looking at right now mess up what you've seen God do in your life already. If he's healed your body, don't let your problem right now change your mind. If he's made a way out of no way, don't let what you're going through right now mess with you. If God has paid bills for you before, don't let your broke status mess you up right now. If God has opened prison doors for you, don't let what you see right now mess up. What has he done something for you? Did he raise your field? Did he feed you? Did he put food on your table? Did he put clothes on your back? Did he keep you in your right mind? Don't let what you looking at right now mess up what you've already said. I stand to tell you, God is a great God. I left Arlington last night, drove over to Dallas, caught a plane over to Sacramento, floated down I-55, crossed over 80 and 90 and 55 and all those other numbers, exited on number 12, came over to 14, drove up to St. Paul to tell somebody God cares. Here we go. Here we go. When they got to the house, look what was going on. All the fake folks were there. Fake pretenders and actors were there, crying out with fake tears. But Jesus said, get the fake folks out of the way. When you want a real blessing, you better hook up with some real folks. Some folks that's been through something. Some folks that's had some problems. Some folks that's overcome some things. I'm talking about when you need a real blessing. He put the fake folks. Oh, y'all still don't get it. Young adults. The young adults here, they're going to help me out with it. They're going to help me close this. There's a show that I watch. I catch it every week that it comes on. I grumble, but then I keep watching it. It's called The Haves and the Have-Nots. But there's a woman on there that's a bad sister, Veronica Harrington. No matter what, y'all been watching too. They locked Veronica up, that didn't tear her down. They stole a wig from her, that didn't mess her up. She tore her clothes, put a wrap around, and kept on strutting just like brand new money. But watch this. There was a murder that took place inside the house. Nobody could figure out what happened. But Veronica Harrington put some things together. She showed, oh, y'all still looking at me. I can't believe he watched that show. I can't believe that preacher up there talking about haves and have not. How he watched that show with all that sex and violence. I can't believe you read the Bible with all that sex and violence. Don't hate on me. Veronica went to the house. And she pulled out this bottle. She started slinging the bottle all over the house. She knew something had happened in the house. She slung the bottle all over the house. Then she told the two there, turn the lights off. When they turned the lights off, there was a glow in the house. What she had used was a chemical called luminol. And all luminol does is tell where the blood has been. Somebody gonna get that in a minute. It tells where the blood has been. When there's been a crime, it tells where the blood has been. When Jesus showed up at Jairus' house, remember, he was a ruler in the synagogue, so he knew where the blood has already. Is there anybody here today that know that there's some blood over your door? So y'all ready to go home now? Y'all ready to go home now? Here it is. Here it is. Is it all right if I unpack this now? I feel all right now. Here it is. When he got over to the house, he put everybody out. Brought in the parents and the three that was close to him. He told everybody, she's not dead. She's only asleep. They laughed at Jesus, but the child woke up. But I still want to know, why did it take so long? Can somebody join me in understanding that sometimes blessings take a long time? Do y'all know what Jesus did? He went into the house and he reversed the call that was on that young lady. Brothers, can y'all help me out now? A few years ago, the NFL, National Football League, started having some problems. The referees on the field kept making some bad calls. And they kept making bad calls and costing teams the game because they made a bad call on the field. So the NFL and their committees got together and they decided, we're going to implement the instant replay. And what the instant replay will do will allow a coach that's standing on the side, when he sees something that he don't believe is right, he can reach in his back pocket and pull out a red flag, throw it on the field to challenge the play. Because sometimes it's not the coach that make the call, but it's somebody up in the press box that's got a better view than a coach on the field that calls down to the field and tell the coach, challenge the play. Watch what happens when he challenged the play. Then the officials that's on the field, they'll go and huddle together. They get under a curtain and they'll watch the play over and over and over and over and over again till they can get the right angle. Then when they come out, they make an announcement to everybody that's waiting. They said the ruling on the field has been reversed. Y'all still don't get it, but I'm not talking about the NFL no more. There was a ruling over my life. There was a ruling over my life. They said I wouldn't make it. There was a ruling on my life. They said disease would take you out. There was a ruling over my life. They said you'd be just like your parents. There was a ruling over your life. Is there anybody here today that's ever been knocked down? Anybody that's ever been talked about? Anybody that's ever been criticized? Anybody that's ever been put out? Anybody that's ever been locked up? Anybody that's ever been behind prison doors? Is there anybody here today that's ever been sick? There's a ruling over your life. But watch what happened when they made the ruling over your life. It took a long time, but somebody up above pulled out a red flag, threw it out on the field, told them to challenge the play. They had to go and huddle up together. Can I just work it 1 minute? Do you know what happened when they huddled up together? It started a long time ago. Abraham had to have Isaac. Isaac had to have Jacob. Jacob had to have Judah. Judah had Perez. Perez had Hezron. Hezron had Ram. Ram had Amminadab. Amminadab had Nahshon. Nahshon had Salmon. Salmon had Boaz. Boaz had Obed. Obed had Jesse. Jesse had David. David looked out over the balcony. He saw a sister by the name of Bathsheba. She had a fine brown frame. She was thicker than a snicker. They hooked up together. They had Solomon. Solomon had Rehoboam. Rehoboam had Abijah. Abijah had Asa. Asa had Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat had Joram. I told y'all it took a long time. Joram had Uzziah. Uzziah had Ahaz. Ahaz had Hezekiah. Hezekiah had Manasseh. Manasseh had Amon. Amon had Josiah. Josiah had Jeconiah. Jeconiah Shealtiel. Shealtiel had Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel had Abiud. Y'all still with me, aren't you? Abiud had Abijah. That's what I'm trying to talk about. Abijah had Azar. Azar had Zadok. Zadok had Achim. Achim had Eliakim. Eliakim had Eliezer. Eliezer had Mathan. Mathan had Jacob. Jacob had Joseph. And about that time, Jesus came from underneath that curtain and made an announcement. He said, the ruling on the field. Come on, somebody. The ruling on the field. Grab your neighbor and tell a neighbor. The ruling on the field. It's been reversed. Is there anybody here today that used to be a sinner? That used to be lost? That used to be down? That used to be depressed? That used to be suicidal? That used to be broke? But the ruling on the field, has it been reversed? Just let me tell you, he gave me hope. He gave me joy. He gave me chances. I messed up that chance. He gave me another chance. He messed up that chance. And he kept on giving me a chance. Because my God, he is a giver. Is there anybody here today that know that God, he is a giver? It started with the beginning of time. He gave the earth that had no shape. He gave it a shape. He looked upon the darkness and said, let's give it some light. He looked upon the night and gave it a moon. He gave twinkle to the stars. God is a giver. He gave Abraham a vision. He gave Jacob a ladder. He gave Noah an ark. He gave Adam to Eve and Eve to Adam. God is a giver. He gave David a song. He gave Solomon his wisdom. He gave Samson his strength. He gave Hannah her son. He gave the Hebrew boys company in a fiery furnace. He gave Daniel a lullaby to sing to the lion. God is a giver, but he moved over in the New Testament and he kept on giving. For God so loved the world that he, his only begotten son, that whosoever believed should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave salvation to the lost, gave eyesight to the blind. He gave a tongue to the dumb. He gave ears to the deaf. He kept on giving. He gave the man that had a crippled disease. He gave him legs. God is a giver. But one Friday, he kept on giving. One Friday, he gave his body to the cross. He gave his head to a crown of thorns. He gave his mother to John. He gave John to his mother. He gave his body to that cross. He gave his hands to the nails, his feet to the rivets. But he gave his blood his broken body blood to the ground. And he gave me salvation when the blood hit the ground. They took him down, put him in a grave, and in 3 days, he gave that back. Somebody better believe that God is a giver. Now, if I was back in Fort Worth right now, they would expect me to ask you a question. When you think about all the things that God has already done, when you think about how you were in the same condition that Jairus was in, they would expect me to go ahead and ask you a question. Now, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he make a way out of your no way? Won't he stop by your house? Won't he break every chain? Won't he deliver your sin-sick body? Won't he give you hope? And when there is no hope, won't he give you another chance? Won't he call your name? Won't he wipe away every one of your tears? Won't he stand by your side? Won't he open prison doors? Won't he heal your body? Won't he make a way out of your no way? Is there anybody here today that God has made a way? Why don't you say yeah today? If the Lord has been by your side, go ahead and give him glory. If the Lord has done something for you, go ahead and give him glory. But if the Lord has never done anything for you, go ahead and sit down. If the Lord has never blessed you, go ahead and sit down. If the Lord has never visited your house, go ahead and sit down. If the Lord has never fed you in the midnight hour, go ahead and sit down. But those of us that God has done something for, go ahead and give him glory. Go ahead and wave your hand. Go ahead and shout for Jesus. Tell him yes. Now, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Then you can tell him, just like Isaiah, has thou not known? Has thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of all mankind, he fainteth not. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the weak. To them that have no might, he increases strength. And it dropped down to that conjunction. He said, but they that wait, upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's enough for me right now. Southwest Airlines brought me over. But I've got wings that's going to take me home. Can I just say this? Pastor, on my way in, we were flying in. Things started getting a little bumpy. They called it turbulence. I'm looking. But the pilot came over. And he said, we're experiencing a little turbulence. I said, you think? But watch his remedy. He said, what we're going to do is elevate to a higher altitude. I said, that'll preach right there, pilot. So when you're going through some turbulence in life, when you're waiting on your next blessing, just elevate to a higher altitude and meet the Lord there. Won't he do it?
Spirit is speaking and moving. Yeah. We invite you to come to Christ today. Will you come today? He'll help you to elevate if you come to him. Will you come today? Will you come?
As I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I have a testimony. As I look back over my life and I think things over,
where you come?